This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration today recorded for us in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. We hear these words from verse 5. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." God's word is truth. Please be seated. Amen. There's something special about this day. We love Transfiguration Sunday. We get to hear about Moses, Elijah, and Jesus gathering on top of a mountain, talking about the events to come, the prophecies about Palm Sunday, the Lord's Supper, the anguish of the cross in such detail, and Easter itself. It's all there in the Old Testament. And it gave Jesus a roadmap to fulfill for our salvation. Jesus is studying those. And he's getting encouragement from Moses and Elijah, arguably the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And there in the midst of it are Jesus' three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. The Old Testament and the New Testament are coming together as a team with Jesus in the center of it. And they are in a huddle getting ready for what is coming up next. 6 days before this was both a good day and a bad day. You know what I mean? I'm certainly sure you have some of those too. But on that day, Peter declared Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the promised Savior from ancient times. But the celebration of the reveal party was cut short. Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer and that the religious leaders of the day would reject him and that he would be murdered. But he would rise again from the dead. Peter hated that idea. It didn't fit in his mind for who Jesus was and who he was to be. Peter, he pretty much got up in Jesus' face, pulled Jesus off to the side, and pretty much said, "Yeah, that ain't going to happen, Jesus, not to you, never." And so Jesus had to put Peter straight, address the rebellion. And Jesus uses some harsh words on Peter. I mean, there is a rift. This is a heated conversation that's taking place. So Jesus, he sees that cross of Christ before him, and he knows that it had to happen, that there is no door to salvation without it. You know, plenty of people don't see a purpose in the cross of Christ. Maybe you struggle with it. We certainly know that Peter did here. Why did Jesus have to suffer and die? It's because of sin. It's because of iniquity. You can't just run cold water on it and think that it will wash out. Sin needs the blood of Jesus Christ to remove it. And it isn't easy to absorb those truths, even when it is followed by his resurrection from the dead. See, actions have consequences. Adam and Eve, they followed their heart, and it led them into the very first sin. Their holiness was ruined. Death and hell were brought into the equation of all mankind through sin. We inherit this. And for this and this alone, Jesus had to come to do the work of salvation. Actions have consequences. Our very own selves have that sinful nature to contend with. You may have noticed that you don't win every battle against the enemies of your soul. But don't wallow in toxicity. Don't wallow in toxic sin. Throw your hands up and just give up the fight. Don't run away from God and cower in a corner in shame and think that that's going to solve anything. Humble yourselves and repent before him who loves you and desires to forgive you. Confess sin and see in the cross of Christ that which was necessary to wash you clean and to give you salvation. Actions have consequences. Jesus didn't look at you and think, "Such a pity." They should have listened. Told them. and just walk away. He could have. But no, Jesus had to do something about it. You see, love compelled him to enter into this world as a baby. That baby in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But from there, he grew up with a purpose in mind, and that was to become your salvation. He willingly rode into Jerusalem as a king, to later that week to be crucified as a king of the Jews and to become the King of Kings after his resurrection. His actions bring heavenly results. Those who believe in him have heaven open to them. We know that. We rejoice in that. But 6 days after hearing Jesus speak about it, well, there we are on top of this mountain before it all happens, the cold-hearted betrayal, before the injustice, before the power of hate and envy that put Jesus to death, before that takes place. It's before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what are we doing here on top of this mountain anyway? Why are we here? We all need this. We see Jesus in his glory. We see his esteemed friends, the prophets of old, gathering around him in their glory too. It's no wonder Peter said, "It is good for us to be here." We like this. We like to see Jesus this way. I mean, this is what Peter was thinking about instead of that crucifixion stuff. Well, no way do we want to leave this. Everybody should see Jesus in his glorified state. But this is just for a moment. But why? Well, first of all, it's to strengthen Jesus for all the trials, the turmoil, and torment he would endure. Jesus himself needed encouragement from God the Father, just like we all do, to do the tasks that God puts before us. If perfect and holy Jesus needed that strength from God the Father, understand, we do too. We do too. All the prophecies that are fulfilled in Christ in the span of the week of his crucifixion are plentiful, and Jesus knew every one of them before one of them came to be. The Bible brings us these words when Judas is coming with his ragtag group of fighting men to arrest Jesus. It says, Jesus, this is in John 18, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him. How do you know that? He's studying up here on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him. He knows Judas is coming to betray him. He knows the trials that will be coming. He knows that he'll be crucified after a tremendous amount of suffering. He knows that he's going to be in the grave in less than 24 hours. What does Jesus do with this knowledge? John 18, it says, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out. Jesus, he went out to meet Judas, approached him, and asked him, who is it that you want? He can see the big picture. Jesus sketched it out before the brush strokes of life hit the canvas. This mountaintop experience, it's for his disciples. They see Jesus in his glory. His face shines like the sun, his clothes radiant. And they learn visually that Jesus is the Messiah. They're visual learners. They got their eyes filled that day. It says the glory of the Lord in a cloud enveloped them, embraced them. They learn kinetically the presence of the Lord as that cloud touches them, envelops them, as it says. It says, then their ears, audio learning, their ears hear the voice of God rumble. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. There can be no doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. This is real. And how they will need this after they fall away from him, understanding that there is nowhere else to go except back to Jesus. and they will repent and testify to what they see here and what they will see after his resurrection. We need this too. Everything you hear about in the season of Lent, all the craziness, the torment that Jesus went through, it's all for a purpose. Jesus knows and goes. And that is what you mean to him. Seeing Jesus in his glory, but understanding he comes down the mountain to make the work of salvation complete, that moves us to repent of sin and to live for him who died for us so that we might live forever with him in eternity. We don't want his work to be worthless to us. And we bring our sin and lay them down before Jesus. Let's close this sermon with a prayer. Please pray with me. Jesus, remove any idol in our hearts. Remove the toxic sin buildup in our souls that clutter our devotion to you and tries to rip away my faith in you. Jesus, you came down from heaven to do the work of salvation. Help us see it is complete. You are our Savior from sin and our Savior for salvation. Let nothing come in between it. Lead us to follow you to the cross, to the power of Easter, and life everlasting. In Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we have peace. Amen. To Jesus be the glory, majesty, power, and authority, both now and forever. Amen.